USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Food and Drug Administration said Monday that children 12 to 15 years of age are now eligible to receive a key COVID-19 vaccine. As the agency expanded its emergency use authorization for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Clinical trials found 100% efficacy and robust antibodies response in study participants that were 12 to 15 years of age. A final vote for its use is expected Wednesday. Virginia Republicans have chosen businessman and first-time political candidate Glenn Youngkin to be their nominee for governor. Mr. Youngkin on the Royal Examiner.
I started to really assess what was going on in Virginia, and I looked at our economy, and I looked at what's happened at the consistent threat to our constitutional rights and our God-given rights, and saw people out of work, and I was so frustrated with my home state. You know, I'm a homegrown Virginian.
USA Radio News.
I'm hungry. What's to eat?
Beans again.
Did somebody say hungry? Pistol Pete's Jerky at PistolPete'sJerky.com. A herd of delicious flavors. Break Bronco busting hunger. Lasso up your order at PistolPete'sJerky.com.
Thanks, Pistol Pete.
I made it myself. PistolPete'sJerky.com. Tell them Pete sent you.
PistolPete'sJerky.com is the official beef jerky of the Chosen Generation Radio Show. When you place your order, you'll receive two free U.S. Constitutions and a U.S. flag sticker. One Constitution for you to read cover to cover, and the second to pass on to your friends, family, or loved ones. Go to PistolPete'sJerky.com and use discount code CGR to get an additional 10% off. PistolPete'sJerky.com and place your order today.
GOP conference chair, the number three position within the Grand Ole Party, could have a new leader come Wednesday. Dan Naraki with the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
A vote has been scheduled for Wednesday to potentially remove Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney from her position as the Republican Party conference chair. Cheney has drawn criticism for her continued condemnation of former President Donald Trump's claims of fraud during the 2020 presidential election. Congressman Brian Babin says Cheney is entitled to her own opinions on the former president. But the Texas Republican tells Newsmax TV that that doesn't apply to GOP leadership, who need to present a unified voice if they plan on retaking the House in 2022.
Liz is our number three Republican in our conference. And while she has every right, every entitlement to her own views, not really as the conference chair. We've got to stay unified.
Thank you for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. Get a hold of my book. It's All in Your Head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
More COVID-19 messaging from government officials. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Dr. Anthony Fauci said over the weekend that it was time to start relaxing indoor mask regulations, emphasizing that as more people get vaccinated, the less those mandates will be needed. Dr. Francis Collins agrees. The head of the National Institutes of Health tells CNBC that infection rates in a community will likely determine how fast public health measures can be pulled back.
Well, CDC has a tough job here to try to give the best possible guidance to everybody when, in fact, the frequency with which the virus is circulating in communities is not all the same. Certainly, as that goes down, as more vaccinations get put in place, and we're on a pretty good path here, we should be able to see CDC relax those indoor mask guidance. And right now, of course, you can gather with other people who you know have been immunized in small groups. My wife and I have been able to have small dinners with people that we were quite comfortable with because we knew they'd also had their shots.
Before COVID-19 ravaged the world, Dr. Anthony Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases provided the money for coronavirus research at China's Wuhan Institute. The question now, could a Fauci-funded experiment be the source of the COVID-19 pandemic? The Wall Street Journal and Fox News are leaning in that direction. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists, Nicholas Wade, argues that the Chinese lab is the most likely source of the pandemic. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Food and Drug Administration said Monday that children 12 to 15 years of age are now eligible to receive a key COVID-19 vaccine. As the agency expanded its emergency use authorization for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, clinical trials found 100% efficacy and robust antibodies response in study participants that were 12 to 15 years of age. A final vote for its use is expected Wednesday. Virginia Republicans have chosen businessman and first-time political candidate Glenn Youngkin to be their nominee for governor. Mr. Youngkin on the Royal Examiner.
I started to really assess what was going on in Virginia, and I looked at our economy, and I looked at what's happened at the consistent threat to our constitutional rights and our God-given rights, and saw people out of work, and I was so frustrated with my home state. You know, I'm a homegrown Virginian.
USA.
Well, good afternoon and good morning. Welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamir Roll, starting late, technically challenged as usual. And I know it's been a while. My husband kindly brought COVID home a number of weeks ago. So he likes to share. And so I ended up with it and had a mild case. And both of us are now fine and healthy and back to our regularly scheduled busy lives. So for those of you that don't know, I am Ruth Altamura Roll. I am the host of Counselor's Chat, which is what we are doing today. And as usual, like I said, I am late and I am technically challenged. Probably that's why I'm a therapist and not an IT person. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I think mental health is extremely important. With good mental health, it affects the rest of our lives, the rest of our body, and the rest of our spirit. So it affects every aspect, just like spiritual health also affects body and mind, and physical health also affects mind and spirit. So they're all connected. We are sort of a triad of in one. I'm going to say as a Christian, we are made in God's image, a trinity, and we are a trinity. We are that. So mental health, one of the things that I've been doing this month through May is my goal, is to put something on my Ruth Altamura Roll Counselor Facebook page that has to do with being codependent. And I know I talk about being codependent quite a bit, and I think that we are living in a very codependent country where our government is extremely codependent. What do I mean by that? Codependent aspect requires that we have somebody that wants to enable, caretake, rescue, act like the hero. And our government is working really hard at being the hero. They're working really hard at rescuing and caretaking and enabling. So we enable by paying people more money on unemployment than to go to work. I know that this is the case. I actually have had people say to me, why should I go to work? My unemployment pays me more. We are rescuing people through open borders. Come right on in. We are rescuing people by allowing them, and I'm using the word allowing, not like giving them permission, but we are opening up the way for homeless and drug addicts and sex trafficking and all of those things, where we are enabling and caretaking all of these situations, so that we can then end up relying on the government. The thing about being codependent is that people who are codependent or entities that are codependent require people to be sick. Now that sounds pretty sad. But in some ways, our government requires people to be sick so that they can then rely on the government for help, so that the government can then come and rescue and take care of and become the hero. So you can't be a hero unless there's somebody to rescue. So the codependent will be a government or person or some other type of entity, our school systems, that we create issues so that we can then rescue, rather than giving people sort of the way, the hands, the foot up, so that they can be responsible for themselves and take care of themselves, which is an actual freedom, rather than when I give permission or because I've been put in a position where I am needy and need to be rescued, I am actually giving my power away to other people. I give my power away when I request or feel that I need somebody to take care of me. One of the things about being codependent is, and then I say these are some of the red flags. So if you notice this within yourself, somebody with codependent generally has low self-esteem. They don't think very highly of themselves, and they tend to focus on others because it's easier to focus on the faults and pitfalls of others rather than looking at self and saying, what is it that I need to do and how do I need to build myself up and be personally responsible for myself. The other thing where there's a problem with being codependent is not knowing the difference between wants and needs. So a codependent believes that they need people, and so we will create a situation where I can rescue people. I will keep my alcoholic or drug addicted, you know, my alcoholic husband, my drug addicted child, I'll keep them sick so that I can rescue them. I need it. I need to rescue people. Versus, you know what, I'm doing a really good job of taking care of myself, and there are genuinely people out there that need some help, and I'm willingly go and help them because I want to. Not because I need that, so that I feel like I'm a hero. You see the difference in that? The other thing, too, when we're codependent, we have poor boundaries and poor limits. So that is, you know, pretty clear in terms of what we do just with our open borders as a government. But even on a personal level, really poor boundaries. I'm going to say we're a Budinsky. I'm the one that's in there trying to control everything. And I don't have good limits. I don't know when to slow down. I don't know when to stop. I don't know how to take care of myself very well. And so I have that issue as being codependent. Our feelings play a huge role, I think, in this area. So I often say to clients, you know, what's your limit? How many slices of pizza can you have before you feel like, you know, you've really had enough? And generally people say, I don't know, two, three. Sometimes people say, oh, I can have four. And then I get really stuffed. So, you know, I really reached my limit. But the person that's crossing the boundary is the one saying, come on, have another one. Have another one. Okay, so I'm pushing. Okay, I'm crossing the boundary. So when we do have those boundaries and limits set up, we ignore them, or we don't even know we have them. And boundaries and limits are natural. They are a natural part of the world. You cannot plant a palm tree at the North Pole and expect it to live. And you cannot take a polar bear and put it down at the equator and expect it to live. They have natural boundaries and limits. And when we ignore those things, it causes problems. That's why we have things like country boundaries and state boundaries and county boundaries and personal town boundaries and personal property boundaries. So, you know, I've got, as they say, you know, good fences make good neighbors. So we've got those kinds of boundaries, you know, land boundaries. And, you know, even at home, in our house, we have boundaries. It's not okay to find one of my children going through my closet. It's not okay to have, you know, brothers and sisters rummaging around in each other's rooms or sister just going into her sister's closet and pulling clothes out and deciding I'm not even asking permission. Those things cause, if you have kids, those things cause arguments. That's my toy. That's my shirt. I didn't tell you you could. Those are all boundary issues. And we're very poor with that in this country, setting good, healthy boundary issues and limits. We're very poor at, advocating for ourselves. So that really is a problem with communication. I'm not good at speaking up for myself. So if I have poor self-esteem, I may not think that I deserve. Okay, so that's one of the issues around being codependent. I don't think I deserve. And so I don't really know the difference very well between what I want and I need. I think I need, and so I'm also very needy. I need to help people, but I don't have good boundaries and limits. I don't know how to speak up for myself. I don't know how to say no. I don't know what to say. It's been enough. I cannot communicate very well. And so I'm not good at advocating for myself. I may actually advocate for other people well, but I don't do it for myself. And so that's also a part of having issues around being codependent. And then lastly is actually the ability to regulate emotion. So when we have things like shootings and riots and family violence and, we see it on, I see it on Facebook. Those are all indications where we have people who are not good at regulating their emotions. And those are all signs of being codependent. So the way we can address being codependent is we stop and look at self. And if I see that I am needy in any of these areas, I need to start working on it. Going to therapy is a great thing to do, especially if you're finding that you're codependent. So it's learning what are my boundaries. If I'm feeling resentful, chances are that feeling of resentful means that I have crossed my limit. I've done more than. I share this with clients. There's a couple of stories. Let's just start off with this Bible story. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. It is a story of the Good Samaritan, where in the Bible, there's this guy, he's naked, beat up, and he's lying in a gutter. And a rabbi goes by, he says, "Oh, I'm not touching that. That's, I don't want to get involved." And then a lawyer goes by, he says, "I don't want to get involved with that." And a Samaritan, a person who's from the ancient country of Samaria, he comes by and he's like, "Oh boy, this guy needs help." And I would think that this Samaritan probably is kind of well-to-do because he gives him his cloak to cover him up. And I'm assuming that's probably not the only cloak that this person owes. He probably owns a few cloaks. But he gave him this one cloak and he took him to an inn. He did not take him home. He took him to an inn. Yes, he sort of rescued him out of the gutter, but he didn't enable him and take him home and say, "You get to live the rest of your life here on my farm and you get to lie amongst the pomegranate trees and eat grapes and you don't have to ever work for the rest of your life." No, he takes him to an inn. He says to the innkeeper, "Help him out. And here's some money, and when I come back through this way, after he's on his way, and if I still owe you anything, I'll pay for that." So the innkeeper takes him in, takes care of the guy, and then the guy goes back to his life. I have years of being in the drug and alcohol field, and so if you think about someone who is homeless from using drugs, and they get into rehab, they get into a halfway house, they don't stay there. You give them whatever they need to get on their feet and get on with their life. Get a job, participate in their life in a responsible, healthy manner. That is the goal. So that is one of the stories that I love. The other thing, too, where I think about being codependent is commandment that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that one actually says that we have to love ourselves first. I have to love my neighbor the way I love myself. So this means if I am going overboard, rescuing, enabling, not having good boundaries, caretaking, and I have resentment towards my neighbor or family member or whoever, I have resentment. I can't believe I'm doing this, and you haven't paid me back, and I've gone out of my way, and you haven't even said thank you, and you this and this, and now I'm resentful. I'm not loving my neighbor. And I'm doing it, I'm going overboard, giving and giving of myself, and as a consequence, I'm now angry. And when that happens, I'm angry and resentful, and I'm bitter, and I'm holding a grudge. I'm actually not loving my neighbor very well. So having boundaries and limits is really a healthy thing. It's extremely healthy to be able to say no, to be able to say I have to take care of myself, to be able to say I need to stop. And I know for myself, I'm not always all that good at it. My husband can attest to that I struggle with doing more and doing too much. And I know for me, part of that comes from my own childhood with sort of getting that message of do more, be more, do more, be more. And so that kind of resonates in my head, and that's actually a belief system that has formulated some of my codependent mindset, and it puts me in a place where I do more, be more, and as a consequence, don't feel well. Sometimes even carry resentments. It's one of the things that I work on. Sometimes I work pretty well on it, and sometimes I don't work quite so well on it. It's okay. Work in progress. So these things are really important in terms of good mental health. Having a voice, being able to speak up for yourself. If I don't have good self-esteem, I have a really hard time speaking up for myself because I don't think I deserve. I'm afraid to disappoint someone. Well, you know what? I'm not in charge of how someone else feels. It's not my goal to go out and disappoint. Same thing with, we live in this culture now that says that we have to be careful not to offend people. Well, the reality is we cannot offend people. I cannot. And now some of you may be listening and you're thinking, well, I don't know, I'm offended by what Bruce is saying. But the reality is it stems from a belief system. So I use this little story in therapy with clients. I have a belief system that says when you use the toothpaste, you put the cap on it and you put it away. Okay, and you squeeze it from the bottom of the tube. And when you're done, you put it away. I go in the bathroom and you have used the toothpaste, you squeezed it in the middle, the cap is not off, it's on the counter, and as there's toothpaste on the counter. Boy, am I angry. And I can go out and go, you know what, I feel really angry and hurt, and I'm offended because you know that I want the toothpaste squeezed at the bottom, cap on, put away. You didn't offend me. I have a belief system in play that says, squeeze the tube from the bottom, put the cap on, put it in the cabinet. If I have an issue with something within myself, the only thing that you can do is trigger it. That's it. So you can say whatever you want. If it's not to me, and I'm just using me personally, if it does not resonate with me in any particular way where I have a belief system at play, then there's nothing to trigger. There's nothing to trigger. But the thing is when I say, And this is where that codependent part plays in. I have to be really careful not to trigger something in you, and I don't even know what it is. I'm caretaking your feelings. Caretaking your feelings. I am trying to rescue you from any uncomfortable feeling that you may have. But our uncomfortable feelings are really important because they're the things that help us make adjustments. Now, I am not the kind of therapist that believes in if it feels good, do it. I'm the kind of person and therapist that says, let's look at those uncomfortable feelings. Sad, mad, and afraid. And what are they telling you? They're uncomfortable. They're telling us something. I may need something. I may need to speak up about something, use my voice. I may have a limit that I've reached or a boundary that's been crossed. I need to be the one to be able to speak up, take care of those things, hold the line, as it were. And the only way I know how to do that is recognizing the feelings that I have. So when I'm feeling uncomfortable, violated, frustrated, it's not because you necessarily did something. So I'm going to say, okay, I have maybe a belief system that says anyone in the world can come into this country at any time. And I'm happy with that belief system. And it works as people come flooding in. I'm standing there handing them welcome brochures. I'm the welcome wagon. Here's flowers. Here's food. Let me go to the hotel and get, you know, and I am just welcoming people in. Or I may have a different perspective that says, no, we have a boundary, and it's not okay, and that people are getting hurt, and people are dying, and people are getting raped, and I'm not okay with that. And so, as a consequence, I may feel angry, and I may appear to be unwelcoming. I know, the things that I share, like today, is rather risky. It's risky because even my own profession does not necessarily agree with me anymore. But I cannot, for me, as a therapist, wrap my mind around something that is not logical and then help my clients in that way. And I find that when I work with my clients and I explain things in some of the ways that I'm explaining here, it helps them. They actually feel better, healthier, stronger, better self-esteem. Isn't that the goal? So, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we are living in a time where addiction is just running rampant. Rampant. So I see that Mayor de Blasio is having a parade for marijuana users. Why are we not having a parade for alcoholics, fentanyl users, cocaine users? See, that's enabling. We're saying we don't need police. Well, I have to say this. When we have really good mental health, if I have good mental health, I have a strong spiritual grounding, I have developed a good sense of empathy, I am not narcissistic or codependent. And I'll say this, when you have a narcissist in relationship, they're in relationship with a codependent. That's the way it works. When you have an addict, they're in relationship with a codependent. We're always trying to control someone or something else. And we're never looking at ourselves. It causes confusion. It causes low self-esteem. I'm trying to, you know, I get this all the time. I'm trying to get so-and-so to understand. I can't get my husband to understand. I can't get my son to understand. I can't get my daughter to understand. I can't get my boss to understand. I can't get you to understand. Every time I'm trying to get you to do something, be something, think something, I am trying to control you. It is none of my business to control you. Even as a therapist, I say to my clients all the time, I cannot change you. I cannot control you, and I cannot fix you. I can give you tools. Your choice is to go use them. You come to me and you say, gosh, I can't figure out how to make a scrambled egg. I say, here's a pan, here's some butter, here's a spatula, here's a bowl, here's some eggs, here's the instructions. And you go home, and you put them on the kitchen counter, and you come back next week, and you go, I don't know how to make scrambled eggs. I'm like, I gave you the tools. I even gave you eggs. What did you do? I don't know. Put them on the counter, and the eggs started to smell. I threw them out. Okay. And that's usually what I say. I'm like, okay. All I can do is give the tools, make suggestions. I cannot fix. It's not my job. And sometimes I give tools and tools and tools. Have you worked at this? Where are you with? Here's some tools on how to build your self-esteem. So-and-so gave me a compliment. Okay, that's great. And what did you do with it? They don't know me very well. What do you mean? Well, they just told me I was good at such and such. Well, are you? Well, I don't know. Are they lying to you? Well, I don't know. Do people lie to you about your... Well, they don't want to hurt my feelings. Okay. So let's look. Do you think things have to be perfect? So we look at things. Do things have to be perfect? Do you think it has to be perfect? Well, yeah, it has to be perfect. All right. Well, you know, there's no such thing really as perfect. We can do excellent. We can do a really good job. Not perfect. So it's exploring things like that, things that get us stuck into being codependent. Now, I may be the codependent. No, I know I am not perfect. I am very flawed, but I want you to be perfect. And I need to rescue you, take care of you so you're perfect. For those of you that don't know the Serenity Prayer, God grant me the serenity. You can even say the universe, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I cannot change many, many things, but what I can do is work at changing my perspective of me, working on my self-esteem. Recognizing the difference between want and need. There's lots of things I want. That doesn't mean I need it. Working at learning what are my boundaries and limits and setting those. Now remember, a boundary is in the limit. They're both flexible. Recognizing that I have to advocate for myself. I have to be able to speak up for myself. It could be a self-esteem issue. So I'm going to say I'm not really good at asking for help because I think I should be able to do everything on my own. I shouldn't have to ask for help. I should know all the answers. I should be perfectly. I should know every answer. So I shouldn't have to ask for help because then that tells you that there's something flawed in me. But the reality is advocating for myself and having good self-esteem means that I recognize that sometimes I need help and I'm good with that and I'm okay with that. And that means I'm going to ask because I need help. I need help because I have some limits. I cannot do some things. Therefore, I need to ask for help. I'm not that tall. I need help to reach something at the grocery store. I am not technically savvy. I generally am asking, for help just to get on the radio here. I need help. I'm not going to paint my house and climb a ladder. And there's things I just need help with. Can I do some things? I can change my own tire. I have this choice. I have AAA, and therefore, if I do have a flat, I call them. So I do. I'm getting my need met. If I had a flat, it's okay. Can do it. Being able to say I have to ask, it's advocating for myself, and then not getting emotionally overwrought and distraught, which sometimes I do, and that usually happens because I have gone over my limit and I am on overdrive. I am overwhelmed. The word over, I'm feeling burnt out. I'm feeling like, if there's one more thing, I'm not sure if I can handle it. And in my life, there's times when I feel like that. And then I get emotional. And I'm not good at monitoring my emotion, taking that step back, taking a breath, saying, okay, I've just gone over my limit. Let me breathe. Let me calm down. Let me think of another way. Because see, when I'm being really irrationally emotional, it affects my self-esteem. Okay, see how it's all connected? And this is all related to being codependent. There are a lot of good books on codependency. The best one, I think, is Codependent No More by Melody Beattie. She is one of the first people that wrote about being codependent. And then there is Pia Melody. I know Melody Beattie and Pia Melody. She wrote a book called Facing Codependence, and she's got some really great YouTube videos. Some of which I'm basically talking about, sort of how to recognize that you're being codependent. It is a topic that I talk about a lot here. I know I do, and you probably roll your eyes here. She is talking about being codependent again. But I do think that it is really a core issue, because as a consequence of being codependent, we can actually end up becoming addicts ourselves. Like, I'm so overwhelmed with everything. I can't manage my feelings. I can't get you to do what I want you to do. I need a drink. I'm going to do some shopping. I'm going to whatever, because I can't handle it. And so then I find myself, even to the point of thinking like, I don't know, I want to kill myself, and becoming suicidal. Definitely depressed. I'm depressed because I can't seem to get out of my low self-esteem. I can't get what I need. I don't know my boundaries and limits. I don't know how to advocate for myself. I'm depressed. And if I say something and I sound stupid now, I'm really anxious. I'm not too sure of the statistics, so I'm going to say don't hold me to it, but I kind of remember a statistic that said for every one addict or alcoholic, you have 7 to 10 people that are affected. Those people become the codependent. When you think of our country and where we're at, the drug addiction, the alcohol addiction, the gaming addiction, the shopping addiction, the sex addiction. It goes on and on. And for every one of those people, you've got 7 to 10 people that may be codependent. So anyway, I'm not sure. I'm looking at the time here. I may actually have gone over time because I didn't start on time. What time is it? Nope. We're about done. Anyway, it does say Tangled Hearts on my thing. I have a book, the novel. It's called Tangled Hearts. It just came out 2 weeks ago. If you are interested, it is a romance, history romance novel. You can find it on www.RuthAltamiraRoleAuthor.com. That's all one word. RuthAltamiraRoleAuthor.com. Let me spell it. RuthAltamiraRoleAuthor.com. I'm really excited about it. So there's history, there's romance, there's some psychological issues, there's all bunch of stuff in here. And I think it's a great book for a summer read, and I'm really hoping that you look into it. It is on Amazon, it is on Kindle, so you can do that. You can look for it there, and I do hope you buy it and you enjoy it. We'll talk about it more. There is a Flemington Book Festival on Memorial Day weekend for new authors. I will be there signing if anybody wants to buy a book and show up or even buy a book for me there. So I will be there on Saturday from 2 to 6 and Sunday from 10 to 2. It is the Flemington Book Festival. So if you're interested, you can Google that, or you can go on Tangled Hearts on Facebook, and there's information there. I may have posted something on Counselor's Chat, and of course, there's Ruth Altamira Role Counselor, all Facebook. If you are interested in finding out more about me, you can also go to my website, which is www.altarolecounselor.com. That's A-L-T-A-R-O-L-L counselor, O-R.com. And you can find out about my practice as a therapist. So, yes, I've got a lot on my plate, and I'm reaching my limit. So, anyway, I hope this has been helpful. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Please, by all means, check out yourself and see to your own good mental health. The better your mental health and spiritual health, the better your physical health, the better your relationships, the happier you will be, the healthier your family will be, the healthier your country will be. I'm all for good mental health. Obviously, I've been doing it for over 35 years. Anyway, I hope, again, this has been useful, and I am Ruth Altamira Role. I am your host for Counselor's Chat. I will be back next week. I will be talking more about my book, and please, like I said, go on to RuthAltamiraRoleAuthor.com to find out more about the book, and AltarRoleCounselor.com to find out more about my practice. So have a good weekend, and be healthy, stay healthy, and wash your hands, wear your mask, all that stuff, you know it. And I will be back next week. Thank you for listening.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Now Tuesdays at 11.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy told his Republican colleagues to expect a vote on Wednesday on removing Representative Liz Cheney from her leadership post. Cheney is under fire from members of her own party for continually battling the GOP. More signs the pandemic is coming to an end. People who deliver packages to businesses and homes classified as couriers and messengers by the Labor Department saw the industry's biggest monthly job losses in more than 20 years in April. Indeed's Nick Bauer says employers in the industry might be thinking that demand for delivery services won't be as strong post-pandemic as they originally thought. End quote. NBC has announced it will drop its broadcast of the Golden Globe ceremony in 2022 after a Hollywood backlash over the ethics of the group and its lack of diversity. Actor Tom Cruise joined the revolt by returning three Golden Globes he's won over the years. USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call.